Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
This is Another Money Show. Get set for another hour of the latest financial information and economic news affecting your bottom line. JR and Anthony are committed to helping more Americans like you optimize their income, reduce their tax risk, and reach financial freedom. So let's start the show. Here are your hosts, Anthony Correo and JR Rochford.
Here we are, your hosts, Anthony Correo and J.R. Rochford, taking a break from our day-to-day as financial advisors with Rochford & Associates, a fully independent, fourth-generation family office right here in the greater Phoenix area, bringing information you may not find on those other financial radio shows. We are aware the last thing you need is another money show, but we appreciate you being here. What do you got for us today, J.R.?
I'm tired today, Anthony. I feel like I've been hit by a car. I'm not into this today. So welcome to another money show. If you've listened to us for any length of time, you know that our deal here is we want to sound alarms. This show is about current events and how they may affect your future and your finances. So we want you prepared, not scared. We want you proactive, not reactive. With that said, we always warm up for a couple minutes. We chat with Jim. Or Jim lets us chat amongst ourselves. So I just learned that Anthony is taking his car and ramming it into people, apparently. So, yeah. So what happened, Anthony? When did this happen? Was it today or yesterday?
It was literally an hour or two ago, heading to the grocery store. It sounds way worse the way JR puts it. But I was at a stop. I was making my right-hand turn. There was nobody at the intersection. There was nobody at the crosswalk. Nothing. And I'm sitting there. Because their car, traffic, it's pretty open, but I got to wait for a couple cars. But my nose is practically in the street ready for me to turn. And as soon as I have my opening, I go to turn. And then some kid on a bicycle coming the wrong way on a crosswalk cuts in front of me in front of the street. So I barely tapped him. He was fine, but I'm still a little shooken up. I feel bad for him. But he did say that this is the second time this has happened. So it seems like he just is not paying attention to what's going on. So how I wanted to end my vacation, my long road trip. I made it all the way home from Kentucky, no issues, and then just trying to leave my neighborhood this morning.
Well, and maybe for this poor young person, third time's a charm, and then he'll learn a lesson and maybe go behind the car when he crosses or wait for the light or something. But so that's how we're starting today with car accidents and the end of the world.
A question, right? Because I told you this happened to another friend recently. This one, the police did get called, but it was a very obvious scam. She wasn't cited because it was a guy in a wheelchair waiting for the light to turn green. As soon as the light turned green, for rushed out in front. Cops said it was not her fault. There were other witnesses that said it wasn't their fault. There's traffic cams that said it weren't her fault. However, the insurance company still made a settlement and then dropped her from her insurance. So we talk about those personal umbrella policies all the time. Like, there are scams out there. Today was just an accident. We're both fine. Well, obviously I'm fine. I'm in a car. But he was fine. Just accidents happen sometimes. But that's what happened to her, was somebody going after insurance company. So I think this is a good point now to bring up that if you don't have an umbrella policy, because these people are out there, maybe you should.
And we talk about it all the time. It's like, insurance, we don't want to spend all your money on insurance, but part of our issue, we help people with their financial plans. So if we put together the perfect financial plan for you and there's a hole in it, we didn't really do our job. Then we were more like salespeople than advisors, which anybody that knows us knows is exactly opposite of our goal. So, yes, we think you should call your property and casualty company and ask them, what is an umbrella policy? I always say ask three questions. What is it? Do I need it? And how much is it? So, I can tell you the range we've seen, $300 to $700 per year, depending on your other coverages, your carrier, all that. So they've gone up. They've definitely gone up. But if you're your friend, would you rather go on the internet and look for an attorney, slap down a $5,000 retainer, you know, and hope for the best? Or would you rather use the attorneys of Farmers or State Farm or USAA? So we like umbrella policies. We're a big fan of them. And we think nowadays, unfortunately, it's pretty necessary. The world we live in, I mean, another example of the world we live in. So with all this car accident, hitting people, wheelchairs, all this exciting news on your way back, how's the new car? How did you make it from Kentucky back in like 12 and a half hours? Or
yeah, I made it with, so there's not a lot of storage space, and we stopped at all the distilleries we could. So I loaded it up with bourbon. I made my Burt Reynolds run across country. It was a really good time. I love seeing all the different parts of this country. But especially being, you know, middle country, you know, towards the East Coast area, you know, the prices in Arizona are absolutely insane. Because anywhere we go, we are looking at prices of homes and properties and what we can get. And it's just Arizona is practically new California, new New York.
Well, in Arizona, we used to be very inexpensive. But when you have all of Washington, Oregon, and California moving in, what do you think is going to happen to your home prices? Maybe even to your politics. Who knows? We'll see.
So yeah. It's, you know, just prices and everything, right? Gas is a big one, but food was so much cheaper. We went to a Mellow Mushroom. We had dinner there one night, and we were looking at their whiskey selection, and they had the Midnight Drom from High West, which is a very, very, very hard bottle to find. Super rare. So the fact that this one place had that surprised me. But we mentioned it, and the bartender's like, whoa, you know, just do you know, like, this is a really expensive drink if you want to try it. We're like, well, how expensive? It was $17. It's like $17. $17 is like a normal cocktail anywhere in Arizona right now. And this is like high end stuff. So that we were able to get it for $17 there just blows my mind. So, anyways, I'm packing up, I'm moving to Kentucky.
So what I got from that,
and driving it all the way back.
Nice. What I got from that is Mellow Mushroom. We're always looking for sponsors. We don't even care if you're in the state or not. We're always looking for your help. So
there is one in Tempe on Mill Avenue. They used to be my happy hour spot when I was still an engineer and going to ASU.
Excellent. Call them, because we're about to hit the 2-year mark. So if we're going to keep this going, we need some help now. So anyway, let's get into some financial stuff. I always know you love when I bring up universal basic income. My mission is to find one a week, and I have no trouble. I found three. The only one I printed off, here's a new one, $1,050,000 to be handed out with zero strings attached as guaranteed income pilot comes to another U.S. city. This one, people who are facing financial hardships can soon apply for the new program called GRIT 2.0 in Tacoma, Washington. So the project will give 175 families $500 a month for 12 consecutive months. And the way the money is spent is unrestricted. To qualify, each family's income must be above 100% of the federal poverty line and below 200% of the federal poverty line. So, and I got a question for you. It led me to a question, because I realize, Anthony, what your point is, we have all this money for Ukraine, but we don't have enough money for our own people. So this is good. It's not bad. Part of my problem is, when do we help the people that are above the poverty line, but barely? And the reason I bring that up, because there is a whole bunch of people that are food insecure. You just said how expensive it is in Arizona. They're not at 200%, say, of the poverty line, but say they're just a little bit over. I just learned yesterday, by the way, today is March 6th. We record on Wednesday. You hear us on Saturday. But on March 6th, so yesterday, the 5th, I was poking around looking for stuff that was important for today. And I found that Arizona's governor, Katie Hobbs, she just, with the stroke of a pen, is apparently forgiving a bunch of healthcare debt for people to the tune of $2 million. So she's canceling, or I'm sorry, billion, not million, amateur. So
are you on that list?
No, I'm not. I am above the, you know, I dug into it, looked at the limit. It's always judged on the poverty level. This is redistribution of wealth is what it is. This is communism, socialism light. I mean, I know it's helpful for people, but we just went through 3 months of medical hell in our family. Ambulance ride, a skilled nursing facility, hospital, doctors, MRIs, CAT scans, blood work, shots, breathing treatments. We went through everything. I am sitting with a pile of bills that I'm kind of fighting with the insurance company first, because it's overwhelming. I don't meet the parameters to fall within this $2 billion. But I'll tell you what, these bills, this is insane what I have to pay. So is it jealousy? Am I jealous of the people that make slightly less than I do? I mean, I don't know. I just know when you forgive a ton of student debt, what about the people that struggle to pay the student debt? When you forgive medical bills for some and not others, it's just, it gets old. You know, obviously,
You think because, I'm trying to find a way to phrase this, but so because other people have suffered and gone through it, that other people's suffering shouldn't be treated and helped? Like, you don't think we should start the process somewhere? And
how do you pick and choose? What do you do for people that are near the people? I mean, do I pick and choose? I don't know. I mean, I don't know the answer. That's part of my problem with all this.
It's like if we're communist light right now, like, you can call capitalism what you want, but it's gone to that direction where it's the haves versus the have-nots. So you know how this works is if people got paid. If you got paid enough to pay your own bills and pay these wages, then you don't have to have all the government assistance. But you've got these large corporations and these politicians which are hoarding the funds for themselves. That's what it comes down to. I think hoarding, we had a client say that once, and that always stuck with me. Because it is. You know, there's only so much you can spend in that buy. And even that money is not real. We say that all the time. You know, to say Elon Musk is worth $100 billion, well, how is he worth $100 billion? Or does he own stocks and shares and assets that are of that evaluation? But those change. That value can change. As soon as he starts selling stuff, that value or that number would drop significantly because it's not a real number. It's very ambiguous. Is that the
ambiguous
word?
Well, ambiguous. And I'm glad you brought that up. Let me hit a couple of things with that. And yes, we're never going to finish the UBI. I printed off that article just because I know it gets under your skin that I find them every week. My whole and when you bring up, you know, if people sell assets right now, as we speak, some of these very wealthy people are in the process of doing so. Warren Buffett selling Apple stock, Jamie Dimon selling JP Morgan stock, Mark Zuckerberg with his Facebook Meta stock, Jeff Bezos with Amazon. The number I read yesterday was just what's already been sold in the last couple of weeks, $9 billion in stock. These wealthy people. Something else that keeps popping up, some of these wealthy people are building bunkers. They're doing bizarre stuff. Do they know something I don't know? So we're gonna see if
I want to go back to the selling stocks, because this is a point I try to make on the show all of the time. When there are opportunities to buy, you have to have cash. That's why we've said for a long time now why we're cash heavy, right? Waiting for opportunities because everything's overpriced. These people know that now. Like I said, Tesla shares can go up and down. So if Tesla shares go down, he can't sell them to buy more shares at a loss, right? When they're cheaper, buy low, sell high. You have to get rid of stuff at a high to have the cash for when things are low. These guys know that. They're seeing peaks. So they're getting out what they can while they can so that they can increase their wealth significantly more when things are down again. Which could, if it gets to be bad enough, you know, then you start needing bunkers. Go on. On what for? Sorry, that threw me off. Jim cut some of that.
I can cut in. Just my dogs were singing for a second. Somebody was at the door.
Oh,
so
just like, you know what that meant.
So didn't know what to do. So with what's going on in the world, you know, when you talk about there's no money, it's funny money, go on usdebtclock.org, We're $34 trillion in debt. Apparently now the average is another $1 trillion every 100 days. So that means roughly 4 trillion a year is going to be added on. It can just go forever, right, Anthony? I mean, no worries. I'm 60. So again, I always point out, you're going to have longer to deal with this than I am. But there's some updates. These very ultra wealthy people are selling a ton of their stocks. Do they know we're going to head into an official recession? Do they think the stock market is going to collapse? Obviously, it's so heavily manipulated, it's not even fun anymore. What is going on? Well, on the other side of our tiny little world, here's something I burned off from Watcher Guru on the 29th of February. BRICS begins creation of a new digital payment platform. Do you remember about 6 months ago, the big speculation? Are they going to be gold back? What are they doing? So let me just read one little bit of this. Russia's finance ministry, along with the Central Bank of Russia, will propose several new financial initiatives to BRICS. The proposal aims to improvise and change the international, that's a key word there, I think, international monetary and global, another key word, financial system as we know it. Russia will particularly focus on creating a new digital BRICS bridge payment platform, which will be a multi-sided option to the U.S. dollar. Development is currently in draft and is due to be proposed at the next summit in October of 2024. That should be a diversion for us too in this country. The proposal will not only create a new BRICS digital platform, but will also contain a set of financial initiatives and recommendations. I think that's the important part. Anthony, our days are numbered. And as much as we don't like to think it, as much as we like to watch TV and, you know, this stuff's painful, it's coming right at us. The central bank digital currency in this country is certainly going to have to follow. As soon as our dollar isn't accepted for petrol, as soon as our dollar isn't accepted around the world, we have to do something about our $34 trillion debt. So this thing with the BRICS nations are growing rapidly. Another 25 are on deck to join the BRICS. So it's everything I've been shouting about is coming. I brought it up earlier. I love so much what Seth Leibson said. I might be the boy that cried wolf. But remember, at the end of that story, there really is a wolf. This is crazy. I mean, this is coming right at us. So not only are the ultra wealthy doing something about this current stock market, doing something about their holdings, they're building bunkers, for Pete's sake. I don't think Warren Buffett is. How old is he now? 134. I mean, I think Warren Buffett is still just driving his little 1970s car and living in Omaha. But I don't know. Mark Zuckerberg. I mean, what are you doing? These people are building underground bunkers. That's scary as you know what.
So think Epstein Island's for sale? You think somebody's bought that one and that one into a bunker?
I mean, you've only been there once. Did you like it or something? Why would you buy that? I mean, I didn't even think you'd buy that. So
it was on the flight logs. It wasn't on the island. It's different.
Right? So I don't even know what to say to that, really. So release the list. I guess that's all I have to say. So as long as we're talking about stocks and we're financial, I got a couple of things for you here real quick. I'm sure you heard, but most people haven't. We talk all the time about how manipulated the financial markets are, how skewed they are, how full of crap they are. And I'm not just talking about offshore accounts for Apple and the wealthy corporations. I'm not talking about tax breaks. I'm not talking about stock buybacks and or repurchasing. Here's something for you. We bring up the Dow Jones Industrial Average has 30 companies. It went without any fanfare. I couldn't find it on the news. I found it on one of my alternate news stations. So here we go again. Amazon officially joins the Dow Jones Industrial Average, booting out Walgreens. The change means that investors who bet on the Dow will now have exposure to Amazon's stock performance. Amazon joins Apple and Microsoft. Listen to those two names. Amazon joins Apple and Microsoft as the third company from the Magnificent Seven, a group of high-performing tech stocks, to join the Dow 30. The other four companies in the group, Meta, NVIDIA, Nancy Pelosi, how you doing with your NVIDIA stock? Tesla and Alphabet, isn't that Google? Or is that a cereal from my childhood? are not included in the index, although all seven stocks are included in the much larger S&P 500. We're going into another tech bubble. The only thing floating in these markets, because they're so easy to manipulate. I mean, come on. Facebook, Meta, are you watching what's going on? Meta is flying high. It's over $500 a share. When it first went public, and I believe there's been a split, when it first went public, it was $38 a share. That made sense. It's not that expensive. The average bear can buy it. Who's on Facebook? The average bear. You know, really, a lot of people don't even want their kids on it. A lot of people think it's like
heroin. Making running off of Facebook. It's the advertisers.
Well, of course.
People collecting the data and the marketing.
That's the key. But I mean, $500 a share. You know, the world around us is not doing well. And boy, a few stocks are doing really well. Is it because the companies are doing that great? Or is it because they are more easily manipulated? I don't know. I'm asking you. So I printed off a list.
Isn't that an easy one to tumble to? Like Facebook, why aren't people just deleting accounts?
Well, Facebook, yesterday, March 5th, it got locked up for a little while. So did the other sister companies, Instagram and WhatsApp and all this stuff. And it was funny because there was a little bit of panic. excuse me. I just choked on Facebook. So there was a little bit of nervousness and panic. I had a couple of people text me and ask if I could get on Facebook. And I was on the toilet. So, of course, I said yes. But you panic if Facebook's down for a little while. What are you going to do if we actually had a solar flare or an EMP and you had no electricity? Anthony, are you going to be okay? Are you worried about that? You live on your phone.
I prepared. I'll be fine.
You have a hand crank radio and some extra spam at home, so you'll be all right. So I don't know. I mean, I think there's so many things that are so weird at one time, and I'm not sure really how this is going to end. So speaking of stocks and bonds, we are always talking about safe alternatives. We talk about income. We don't say don't have stocks and bonds. We don't say don't have mutual funds and ETFs and that sort of thing. They're laddering money out has always been smart. Diversification has always been smart. There's reasons to have that stuff. I would say now you better be very aware of your surroundings, be very awake and aware and nimble. But one of the things that I had a little conversation with last week while you were gone with a potential client, it got into the realm of fiduciary and how we get paid. And it was interesting because I think a light bulb went off over this woman's head. She talked about how she's done some reading. She's been told that you never would want to work with somebody who's not a fiduciary, and you really don't want to work with somebody who's commission-based. And I said something to oversimplify it, just to illustrate a point. I said, let's say you purchase a fixed product with an insurance company to be an alternate solution to your CD, and it is a 5-year product, and it pays the advisor 6%, which is a huge commission, but it pays 6%, 5 years, okay? And she was like, okay. Now, let's say you find a similar portfolio of stocks, bonds, ETFs, mutual funds, whatever, and you're paying the advisor a reasonable thing, say 1.25%. Let's use 1 for the math. So in 5 years, you basically paid this commission. Well, you didn't pay it. The insurance company paid the advisor to find you. But the advisor got paid 6% for a 5-year product. Well, say you're in the securities equivalent, you find something fairly safe, well-diversified, and you're paying 1% a year. It comes out of your pocket. That's the first thing. The second thing is, after 6 years, let's say you have it 6 years, how much did you pay? Well, roughly 1% of the portfolio. So 1%. What if you have it for 20 years? There could be a case made that you just paid 20%. You paid 1% a year on your money for 20 years, that you paid 20%. Is that seeing it weird? I mean, some of the commission story, people just don't understand it. They're like, commission is evil. Well, I don't know. If an advisor does what's right for the client, so they get ahead, they win, they get to protect and grow their assets, and the advisor makes money, is that a bad thing? No, we all agree. We have mortgages and gas prices and in your world, bourbon and expensive cars and stuff. So we have bills. And when you look at it, these people, the fiduciary, let's get to the fiduciary thing for a second. Sorry, I'm getting myself all worked up. Fiduciary, when it came out, it basically meant put your client's best interest in front of your own, right? I mean, very simple. I don't like the government having to tell you that. That means they saw a lot of stuff they didn't like. So if you're going to do what's right, you're going to do what's right without being told. If you're not going to do what's right, you're going to continue that even if you're being told not to. That's a problem. The second thing with the fiduciary rule, it's from the Department of Labor. It covers 401ks, 457s, simple SEP, IRAs. It does not cover non-qualified money. So if you come in my office and you bring a $100,000 401k and you want to know what to do with it, I have to be held to this fiduciary standards. If you bring another $100,000 in your checkbook, I do not. That is a flaw in the system. The second thing is, I had to ask about the fiduciary. I said, when's the last time you looked into it? And she was like, what do you mean? I'm like, do you realize, right, that they're restructuring it? We're supposed to have an answer soon on what's going on. The fiduciary rule right now is in limbo. It's not really in place. So the fiduciary word is more of a marketing thing and a buzzword than it is an actual protection for these people. And they don't know it. My answer, if you have an advisor that's doing the right things and you're comfortable, that is like gold. One suggestion I have, if you're not sure, get a second opinion. Get two or three. Sit down with a few people and ask questions. If you make your way in our office, you know that you're likely to hear more negativity than some other offices. I can't be negative if I'm trying to sell you. I have to tell you everything's going to be okay if I want to sell you something. If I'm honest with you and I look at what's going on in the world, that's not conducive to good sales. That's conducive to telling people, wait, when you're not sure what to do, you do nothing. Isn't that usually good advice?
Remember, all of JR and Anthony's listeners receive a free financial consultation just for listening to the show. Visit anothermoneyshow.com to learn more and schedule an appointment. Thanks for listening to Another Money Show and subscribing wherever you listen to podcasts. Until you've been beside a man.
At Rochford & Associates, we know the road to financial freedom is not a straight path, and the journey is different for every family. And in times like these, we want you to feel confident that you're safely on track to meet your retirement goals.
We want to ask you to prepare for economic chaos. We want you to prepare for bank volatility. We want you to insure and protect your assets with a smart plan.
Our team can help you make the most of your hard-earned savings using strategies that are right for you.
I want more people to sit down with us. When we talk about a financial plan, it's different for every person we meet. We tailor make our plans.
Schedule your no-obligation consultation today by calling 623-523-0444. That's 623-523-0444. Rochford & Associates, veteran-owned and proud to serve Americans like you. You're listening to Another Money Show. To learn more and contact JR and Anthony, visit anothermoneyshow.com.
So I guess my main point is, this is your money. It's not the government's money. The government can come in and tell the advisors to do the right thing. They're either going to or they're not. But this is your money. You better understand what you have. You know, I mean, we see all the time, we see people with stuff they don't understand. The one thing we've seen recently is a woman that has a structured note. It's a bond. It was a discounted, under coupon, under face, tied to a secondary market and a front. She had no idea what this thing was. And I'm like, so is it appropriate for you if you have no idea what you have? Is it suitable? I'm from the old broker-dealer world. I'm from before. I was in the office years before fiduciary was a thing in financial services. And the thing was, there was a suitability standard. You know what? It didn't protect anybody. The person needs to know what they're getting. They need to know what they have. The advisor needs to be honest and ethical and forthright, or they're in the wrong business. If you're managing somebody's health or their money and you're not doing what's right, shame on you. But that's, unfortunately, the world we live in does not say that that's okay. But anyway, so my thing about the fiduciary rule, it's in limbo right now. There's basically, we're waiting to see what the government's going to make advisors do to adhere to the fiduciary rule. So kind of weird. Should I breathe for a second or should I keep going?
Go for it.
All right. Well, why don't we talk next about March 11th? We have gotten numerous emails, calls, texts. We've got a lot of people that are saying March 11th. They keep hearing. And usually the first question I ask, were you given the recommendation to buy gold? I mean, you know, a lot of people that sell precious metals, and don't get me wrong, you know, gold just hit an all-time high again yesterday. Gold is likely to go up because of inflation, because of the global, the geopolitics. So gold is not a bad thing. My thought on gold is always the key is moderation. The key is understanding what you have. The key is making sure you have time frames where you're not going to have to sell it in a year or two because it cycles. It's actually very volatile. So, but this March 11th thing. So I will try to condense what's going on. About a year ago, in March of 2023, we had some bank issues. Remember Signature Bank, Silicon Valley Bank? I know it was a year ago. But
you had New York Bank who bought asset from the failing banks. Now they're failing themselves.
Yeah, we need to talk about that for a second, too, because now this Flagstar Bank, they're trying to hide. It seems like they're trying to get under the radar. So they're trying to rebrand fast and furiously. But before we get to Flagstar Bank, so the government, you know, you asked, you know, well, the FDIC, it had 1.10% coverage. It didn't change when those banks failed. And yet Mark Cuban and everybody got their money. And then, you know, it went up a little bit. Now it's like 1.13% coverage on your money. By the way, make sure you make your way to FDIC.gov. Look up the DIF, the Depositor Insurance Fund, and make sure you understand that if you have less than $250,000 in an account, you are covered by about 1% coverage. We have alternatives where we can get you 100% coverage. Same thing, you got a one-year CD at a bank. Let us show you a one-year product at an insurance company where you've got 100% or more in coverage, but sideline. So back to last March, the banks failed. The government rushed in because they had to stem the outflows of money from the bank. They had to make sure we don't panic, especially with only a year to go before the elections. So they came in and they started something called a bank term funding program. Most people don't know about this because why would they? You're not going to see this on the mainstream news. But anyway, so this bank term funding program, it was meant to give the banks liquidity. It was meant to give them breathing room. It was loans from the, and how funny is this? Loans from the government to the banks. Banks, you know, profit banks. I don't think banks are nonprofit. So the government is loaning money to the banks for an up to a one-year term. Anthony, I'm probably boring you because you know all this, but I can tell you right now, I would be willing to bet 98% of the people listening to us have no idea what this is all about. They just keep hearing that.
We already have fractional reserve.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what happened? Yeah, fractional reserve means you can, your bank's job is to take money in and give money out and help you with mortgages and credit cards and business loans. So
we already know they don't have reserves.
They don't. Because in March of 2020, during the big COVID fiesta, the banks were told, you can loan out or do whatever you want, pay salaries, buy derivatives, whatever you think is wise. You don't need to keep any reserves. How crazy is that? If there's a modern day run in the banks, which I am telling you there is, it hasn't gone away. So the government said, you don't have to keep any money in reserve. Zero, none, no money. And now, then all of a sudden, you know, a few years after that, 3 years after that, boom, Silicon Valley Bank takes a dump. Turns out tons of people had more than $250,000. The government, through the DIF, through the department, through the FDIC, was supposed to cover those accounts. They didn't have that kind of money. They couldn't do that. They would be completely wiped out. So poof, they develop a new program called the Bank Term Funding Program. So the government, who is giving I bonds? Remember the I bond a year or two ago was like 9.63% interest. We're like, woo! You know, they had to limit it. You can only put in 10 grand because that kind of interest rate is phenomenal. But anyway, so the government comes up with a new plan. They're 34 trillion in the hole. And yet they've got all the money they want to loan these banks with favorable interest rates for up to a year. So that expires next week on the 11th of March. That program expires. They already, I don't know, a month or two ago, they raised those favorable rates by a little bit to the banks. So they tried to stop the bank's dependency on that program here recently by raising the rates. Whether it helped or not, I have no idea. You know, doubtful, because the rates are still better than you and I can get, I'm sure. But anyway, so that expires next week. The gold people, and my gosh, if you listen to AM radio, by the way, make sure you still reach out to your representative. We want that to stay in our car. So if the gold people, they're really, they got a lot of ammunition between the election year, between everything going on. So basically, they're saying the system collapses starting next week. I think it's going to come and go with very little fanfare. We had one client reach out to us via email from Washington. I know he copied you too, and he just asked anything to it. And I sent him a video of somebody talking about it, but I'm like, you know, I didn't try to scare
him. Actions have no consequences. We've said that so many times. So say they can't, they're going to default on those loans. You know what's going to happen? They're just going to extend the loans and borrow more money.
Yeah, but the end of the track is getting closer. Go back a few minutes and think about BRICS. BRICS is this year likely to come out with their currency. That's the last piece of the puzzle. All they have to do is have a way to get rid of the dollar. And then they're going to have enough countries join. They're going to have enough countries that don't join, but join in on their commerce, and they get rid of the dollar. Is it going to be gone in October if that's when the digital currency in the BRICS is announced? No, but it's going to sure as heck be the start of it. And then over the next couple of years, we're done, Anthony. It's done. We have to make sure we're ready. The country, it'd probably be the next 20 years that we become Venezuela. It's not going to be overnight. I mean, God forbid if we go into civil war, you know, talked about that last week. God forbid if there's an attack. You know, I did read last night that Russia, in writing and verbally, warned our country, do not send NATO troops to Ukraine. Well, I mean, what are we likely to do? What are we in the process of doing? If you want my speculation, today on March 6th, they're testing their emergency broadcasting system in Russia. They're doing that today. Is that something they do once a year, twice a year, and it just happens to be a day after they warn this country and NATO? I don't know. I just know there's a lot of landmines right now. And it's so funny because, well, you know, we're all going to die. You know, World War III, nukes, dinosaurs, aliens, we're all dead. You know, buy gold, whatever. My thing is, you better wake up. You don't want to be blindsided. There are some things you can do. You know, come November, vote. I mean, that's another whole episode. Nikki Haley dropped out, so now we're down to one choice on one side. It's a mystery on the other if the health will hold up for Biden and all that, but you need to vote. You know, I've talked to countless people. Oh, it doesn't matter anyway. My vote doesn't count. I'm not going to do it. So you're giving up, which is kind of like, Anthony, what you're saying to me. Like, I'm giving up. It's just, it's the end of the road. It's all going to die. No, I'm telling you, I think we're going to have a stock market collapse. I think there's going to be a lot of steps before we are Venezuela. I think there's going to be a lot of pain. Some people profit when there's bad times. 2008, your mom and I bought a house. We bought a foreclosure. We got over double our money. We lived in a beautiful house just until this past March, and then we got over double our money in that house. There's opportunities where there's pain. But you and I go a little further. We think that the stock market is going to collapse, your assets are going to shrink. We've helped people beef up their income to weather things. We have clients that are better off with this inflation that we're in because their income gets them by. I've heard you for years telling people assets are wonderful, the more the merrier, but income is what's really important. That's where the peace of mind is. We, and I know this is kind of scary, we want you to have food and water. We want you to be able to survive if something happens. So we're a way different show than what I hear around us. If you come in and you want to talk about a Roth conversion, can we help you with that? Of course. If you want to know what you should be doing in your 401k, of course. You got an old 401k, you have no idea what it's doing. Let us help you with it. 623-523-0444. Reach out to us, team@anothermoneyshow.com. So, and by the way, YouTube, We now have over 70,000 views of the little channel. So, Jim, whatever you're sending to Doug, Doug, however you're doing things, keep doing that magic. I mean, Anthony and I, we look at financial statements. We're not YouTube guys. We're not even radio show people. You know, we're financial people. So this is a miracle that we've made it 2 years on here. But good job, Doug, Jim, Sam. Good job, you guys, because that 70,000 views. We only have like 280 subscribers, and yet we have over 70,000 views. So that means the word's getting out there. People are sharing our stuff. You're not finding that many people seeing your stuff by accident. So it's going very well. Help us. Keep helping us. Anyway, we want to help people. One person, one couple, one family at a time. I've said for years, my priority in my office is to protect and grow your estate in that order. It's never been an exciting practice. We have always, when I stopped selling variable annuities, which I stopped in about 2002. So, 20 some years ago, I stopped because I started understanding them. I was like, the risks, the fees, people don't understand them. Why would you own a financial product if you didn't understand it? So what I started doing was I started using mutual funds and fixed annuities. And I would use a mix, the fixed annuities at no cost to the client. It was no charge on the way in, no annual fee. We watched the declining surrender charge on the backside. And then I got the growth component out of the mutual funds. People got better returns, less risk, and less fees by doing that. So I that's what we want to do. We want to help you with your money before the market crashes, not after. We want to help you with should you go the crazy train that I'm on and put a little food away. You know, think about the great toilet paper shortage of April of 2020. People got sketchy over Clorox wipes, toilet paper, hand sanitizer. It was weird. To me, it was hilarious, but it was weird. If that happens with food, believe me, it's not going to be funny. It's going to get real serious. So, and I'm in Sun City. I've got these people in Sun City that I have to be careful. I have to balance scaring them with helping to protect them. But I'll tell you what, if right now you look at everything and you think everything's okay and we're going to be okay and it's going to go on forever, you and I see it differently. I want to make sure you sit with Anthony and get your income planning. I want to make sure you sit with me and let me be the crazy person and tell you what percentage of your assets should go into protecting yourself. Should I take a breath? I feel like you haven't said very much, except for like when you ran into people in your car and stuff. You haven't really said
that. Practically, you pretty much hit me. I moved like a foot in my car.
So you tried to kill?
No.
I didn't understand what you just said. Did you aim at him, or was it just your car happened to be luckily
not,
the pedestrian? No?
Not how I want to start or end this show. Thanks for that.
But I missed you.
Still,
you were
feel
fun last
terrible. I know it wasn't my fault, but it still don't feel good.
Oh, of course. Of course. I'm making jokes on purpose, but that must have shook you up. I get that. So,
Wait, you're trying to think of everybody talking about the end of the world? Is that... We're going to draw these similarities.
Yeah, I'm trying to distract you. I'm giving you other stuff to think about. So,
even the end of the world, say you're right, right? Maybe I'll give you credit. Everything is just as bad. I don't know. It's still, I think our financial planning strategies overall work in any time. I think it's just smart to do, getting out of debt, focusing on income, waiting for opportunities. I think that's just smart financial planning, period. Again, you put all your money into the stock market and make a ton of money and you're riding high right now. But what are you doing for opportunities? Are you just riding it through and, praying that by the time you do want to cash out your stocks, it's still high? Or are you doing something about it? And that's what I like doing. I like that planning part.
Well, you know that I hit it up fairly often, but over the years, I've noticed when there's a downturn... I was in the office in 2000 for the tech bubble. I was there in 2001 when a plane hit a building. I was there for 07 through 09. It's funny because we are taught to tell you when your money's down 10, 20, 30, 40%, oh, it's only a paper loss. It's a don't panic. Then you've locked in the loss. You've made it real. Where are the advisors now? Right now, March 6th. I hope a lot of advisors out there in this country are saying it's only a paper gain. You know, your account is up 6% year to date. It's up 14% year to date. Why don't we take some off? Why don't we use some of that money and pay down debt, pick up some hard assets, go to insurance companies where you have 100% guarantee on your money? CDs are...
throw it in Bitcoin, since Bitcoin's up like 50% last month.
It is. Bitcoin's going through the roof.
Absolutely insane to me. Just make it went there.
Well, and yesterday on March 5th, it went down 10% in one day. So don't forget, there's still volatility. And I'm not convinced.
And it's still just recovering from where it was in 2021 and then again from 2020. I guess I wish I could understand the craze to justify. I mean, again, it's the same with the stock market. I know enough to know behind the scenes that it's all BS. So Bitcoin's in that same ballpark, but it's just like, I just don't get it.
Fear of missing out. People, they want a Lamborghini. They the lifestyle. Yeah, I mean, the volatility is exciting. You know, people have always talked about the stock market being legalized gambling. Holy cow. I mean, Bitcoin, Dogecoin, these things, it's insane. You don't own anything. There's still no commerce. You know, we talk about gold backs here and there. You can only use gold backs at certain establishments. Same thing with Bitcoin. You know, Bitcoin was a great idea. The dollar is failing. We all know that. We know that we're losing the world reserve currency. The fiat currency is dead. The inflation has eaten into the value of our dollar over the years so bad it's dead. So it's just a matter of time before we bury it. So what's the alternative? The government is not going to let you have competition. The government is pinched out if you trade with bitcoins. They know that. That's why they've seized wallets over presumed money laundering and drug funding and terrorism. Blah, 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 blah. They're gonna shut it down. You know, when I brought up Facebook being down for a short while on Tuesday, what if we have a solar flare? Obviously, it'll be in October this year. But if we have a solar flare or an EMP, how are you going to buy things with your Bitcoin? What if, I mean, and when I talk about commerce, how are you going to buy things with your Bitcoin today? You have to cash it out and put it into the dollar. So it's not a perfect system. You know, the reason people liked it, the government is not involved. That is so untrue. Why did the recent Bitcoin ETFs need SEC approval and to be green-lighted before they could take off? Because the government is 100%. Into everything we do. So hang in there. And the answer,
what
I don't know.
What happened to that Chase coin? Are they still releasing their own digital currency?
Haven't heard a word. Haven't seen anything. Haven't even thought myself to check on it in a couple months, because I assume...
That's the only one that I'm still real curious on, because that one could potentially be... You talk about what the next currency is for the dollar. You know, if they're putting up money into that, since... You know, Jamie Dimon kind of runs the finances for the entire country. So the fact that they're thinking about there, the fact that he's selling stocks too, and they've said like, oh, he never sells stocks, and now he's selling at record numbers, like something to that.
Yeah, and that I didn't even think of that. I just know that they're not dumb. These billionaires, they have money, they have advisors, they're not dumb. They probably know a stock market meltdown is coming. We're in the throes of the melt ups are always followed by meltdowns. So they know that's coming. They're nervous about the world. I didn't even think of that. I mean, Jamie Dimon, in his case, he could be making that money liquid. So it's all going to go into his own coin. Who knows? Which I think will be the government's Fed coin. They'll work together. But who knows? You know, the banks, we tell people, don't have a safe deposit box. There's a reason for that. We've told you over the years, make sure you research the term bail-in. We were harping on Executive Order 14067. It's still in play. We've talked about FedNow, which is launched, but there's no sign of it. You know, the banking stuff. New York Community Bank. That's my favorite example, because I used to have an account at AmTrust. And then AmTrust went south. And then it was bought over. The naming rights were bought by New York Community Bank. So, and then they took back the AmTrust name because people didn't want to see New York on their sign. Well, now AmTrust is gone, and now New York Community Bank is merging with Flagstar Bank. So I read something. I've been really watching that one close because that's a huge bank. I mean, it's one of the 30 largest banks in the country, but I've been watching it because I think with the banks, it's been a slow burn. I think when they start going, it'll be a domino effect. This one's big. There's a lot of holdings with this bank. They're
well, that's
huge.
When they use the too big to fail model and they become conglomerates, and then, you know, the big three take over everything so that the federal government, when there is a digital currency, only have to watch three banks instead of thousands of community banks.
Yes, but if you have a safe deposit box at AmTrust or Flagstar or New York Community Bank or whatever, you know, if you're with that bank, I always think first come, first serve, so I'd be careful. But I read an article on the 21st of February that talks about the conversion to Flagstar, and this thing is amazing. It's talking about how strong they are. It's saying here, New York Community Bank Corp has market-leading positions in several national businesses, including multifamily lending, mortgage origination and servicing, and warehouse lending. Is warehouse lending part of CRE, commercial real estate? It says the company is the second largest multifamily portfolio lender in the country. So I don't know. So I'm reading a lot about how great they are. It talked about the strength and stability. That was on the 21st of February. We know what happened over the 2 weeks after that. An article I just found yesterday says New York Community Bank teetering after revealing $2.4 billion in losses, citing material weakness in risk management. This article, it's very scary. It talks about the change. You know, the CEO, Thomas Cangemi, has resigned. It talks about the workings of the bank, and none of it's good. I mean, here we go again.
But obviously, it was just good enough last year to be buying up all these other assets. They've got $114 billion in assets. Like, what? Where's all that money? Why can't they sell? Why can't they get back in the
space? Well, if they have $114 billion assets, then no big deal if they lose $2.4 billion assets, right? In one quarter?
Yeah, you think so.
No, I wouldn't think so. I think that's
what it did. Okay, so that one, that's how I read it too, but it said $2.4 billion more than what they already announced. So what was amount they had already announced?
You're right. I mean, the line you're thinking about, New York Community Bank initially triggered fears of a wider banking crisis when Moody's downgraded its credit rating last month due to a multifaceted financial risk management and governance challenge. Now, in a series of regulatory filings, the bank has revealed that its losses in the fourth quarter of last year were $2.4 billion worse than previously reported, acknowledging material weaknesses in its risk management operation. What I just read there. Unfortunately, that's the banking industry. Didn't Moody's and all these rating agencies, didn't they downgrade the industry, the sector, last year after all the fun with Signature Bank?
Yeah.
It's a house of cards. So if you have money at a bank, make sure you reach out to us. If you have money in the stock market, make sure you reach out to us. If you're not sure if you should be hunkering down, reach out to us. If you want to come in and have a cup of coffee or glass of water, reach out to us. I'm tired today, Anthony. I'm tired. I had to carry you. My back hurts from carrying you. So why don't you wrap it up? I know we're getting close, and then we'll do it again next week. And I'll try to let you talk.
No, you won't.
Right.
So anyway, No, we know how these shows go. People call in, they want to talk to you. Nobody cares about poor old Anthony.
I do. I'll call you as soon as we get done here.
All right. Well, you call me? I thought we had to go to work. You got to go to the office. Anyways, that's it for today's show. If you like what you heard, you have questions about any of the topics today, or want to sit down with us to review your personal situation, you can reach out at team@anothermoneyshow.com. Find us on the web at anothermoneyshow.com. Find us on YouTube. Be a part of those 70,000 views. Remember, if you reach out, there are no minimums. There's no cost for appointments. There's nothing to lose by getting a second opinion on your financial situation. Until then, we'll see you again next Saturday right here at noon on 960 The Patriot. It's been a long day. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Another Money Show. You deserve to work with a private wealth management firm that will strategically work to protect your hard-earned assets. To schedule your free, no-obligation consultation, visit anothermoneyshow.com. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Rochford Financial are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results. At Rochford & Associates, we know you've worked hard to earn your money, and you've worked even harder to save it. When it comes to wealth management and planning for retirement, J.R. Rochford and his team of specialists have been helping individuals, families, and business owners find financial freedom at their veteran-owned firm for more than 25 years. Give us a call now at 623-523-0444. That's 623-523-0444.
Fixed annuities, including multi-year guaranteed rate annuities, are not designed for short-term investments and may be subject to restrictions, fees, and surrender charges as described in the annuity contract. Guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuer.
Registered investment advisors and investment advisor representatives act as fiduciaries for all of our investment management clients. We have an obligation to act in the best interests of our clients and to make full disclosures of any conflicts of interest, if any exist. Refer to our firm brochure, the ADV 2A, page 4, for additional information. Any comments regarding safe and secure products and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to securities or investment advisory products. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims-paying ability of the issuing company and are not offered by BWA.